Horror Movie Night, we take a trip to a little small town where we find a bunch of shape-shifting giant avocado monsters. This one was picked by Scott. It's the Full Moon Classic in quotation marks, Seed People. So, Scott, I am... this one's all you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. As far as bad cinema goes, last week's is definitely worse than this week's. This movie's not great, but found, and the pacing sucks too, but I think I found more entertainment in watching it. Although this is my third or fourth watch of this film, and I have no one to blame but myself, really. I mean, it's not a good film, even by Full Moon standards. It's pretty fucking garbage, but I enjoy the concept.
They've been trying to do a sequel for
years. They should probably
just give
that up.
I don't know about you guys, but this was a video store staple for me. We had two video stores, and the grocery store had movies. All three of those had Seed People.
Had a copy of Seed People.
Yeah.
They probably had a copy of every Full Moon picture from the early 90s, though, because Full Moon was all about that video store rental.
Full Moon, to this day, I still stand by, had the coolest special feature in VHS tapes, which is the full, like, 30-minute video zone bonus thing, the video magazine, basically. Mm-hmm. And the DVD for Seed People has a segment from Video Zone of the making of, like, the behind-the-scenes making of Seed People segment, which is where I found out that the guy who made this movie made two other movies that are far better than Seed People. He made Demonic Toys, which he shot and literally shot and then went right into Seed People. So they both came out the same year. And then he also made kind of a hard-to-find one because it's kind of in like a copyright limbo. But have either of you ever seen the movie Arena?
Oh, yeah. He did that?
It's on my list, actually.
Dude. Arena is probably the best thing that his name's been attached to. Arena's fun as shit. But yeah, Arena is the space boxing movie. So
Yeah.
It's not dino boxing, but yeah. It's space boxing.
Yes, we need to clarify. There was dino boxing last week. One day maybe we'll talk about space boxing on this podcast.
Yeah.
So this movie starts with based on an idea by Charles Band.
Really?
They should have put Yeah, I should have said, based on an idea by Charles Band after he watched Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
After he watched Invasion of the Body Snatchers, wow. And Day of the Triffids, just like you were talking about last week. I think it's so ironic you watch Day of the Triffids the week and discussed it the week before we watch and discuss Seed People.
Yeah, I don't know. I like killer plant movies.
I do too.
There isn't too many of them out there.
There really aren't. I mean, you got Day of the Triffids, you got the Invasion of the Body Snatcher,
Little Shop of Horrors.
You got Little Shop of Horrors, and that's about it. We're not even going to talk about
the Ruins. The Ruins.
Okay, so The Ruins is a garbage film, but the concept is sweet.
It's cool, yeah.
So this movie, let's dive into this very, very threadbare plot that they've got going on here. Because the pacing of this movie is garbage, and I apologize for that, but I don't apologize for the rest of it because there are some really fun practical effects in this, and the monsters are so absurd that I have nothing to apologize for. If you don't like it, get the fuck out. So the first thing you see is this guy come in all like disheveled and get wheeled into an operating room, and this doctor is going to spray him inject him with this syringe. And he sprays half the syringe out. It's just insane. Like, you know how the concept is that you're supposed to shoot a little bit of the liquid out so that there are no air bubbles so that people don't get a hemorrhage or whatever. He just sprays half the liquid out. I'm like, what? That's medicine. So then he starts to interrogate the guy, or he starts to try and work on the guy. And then this guy from like FBI or something comes in and he's like, let me interrogate this dying suspect. And so the guy goes in, and the whole movie is him recounting his wild weekend in Comet Valley. So there's only one way in and out of this town, which is ridiculous. Like, how is there only one way into this? If it's a valley, there should be two ways in and two ways out. Like, you go over the bridge on one side and over the bridge on the other side. Like, this stupid. But that they needed that for the concept of people not being able to get out while these plant monsters are taking over everyone. So he comes in because he's a meteorologist or something like that, and there are comets that are meteorites that people are finding, and he's trying to place them, like carbon date them or some stupid pointless subplot. And you get to meet all the townspeople, and people are upset because there's a blight out in the apple orchards or something like that. And he's like, "You're just drinking too much."
There's a scene where someone's showing him a meteor in the trunk that is like writing science conversation at its finest. Like, I don't remember what's said, but it is just like the most, you are just pulling words out of a science book and throwing them into a screenplay right now.
Yeah, it's the John Carpenter Prince of Darkness school of screenwriting. Here's a voiceover line. It surprised me when Ed didn't shake hands. That's how he says it. Like, there are ellipses between almost every third word. It's ridiculous. So he's like, "Oh, I think that you're seeing stuff," because he's like, Ed is mad. He's a farmer, and he's mad because people have been tromping around in his orchards looking for meteorites, and therefore there's a blight, which makes no sense because that's not how blights work. Blights are fungal. Anyway, so he drives off, and then Tom, I believe is the name of the main character, he goes to this bed and breakfast, and in the voiceover explains that it's run by his ex-girlfriend, and he's like, "It's the only place in town I could stay," which, okay. And so he meets her and immediately starts, like, hitting on her again, and she's not having it. And then you see her niece, whose parents died or something, like, or her mom died, and she's staying with her aunt at this B&B.
Oh, is this the
and
Kim character?
This is one of the
Kim
most,
character? The, yeah.
Yeah, Kim. The most egregious 14-year-old being played by a 24-year-old. Like, this is how they're like, "We can't get any kids to play in this movie. How can we make a 24-year-old look like she's 10 years younger? Cutoffs and overalls,
ponytail,
maybe?" And so they do that. Ponytail, and she's always carrying her gigantic camcorder around with her because she's going to document that the people are monsters. Oh, I'm forgetting the one part when you get to see the first of the monster transformations before the guy. It's either right before or right after you meet Kim. But these guys go, so it's somehow immediately nighttime. Because it makes no sense to me. Like, it's daytime, it's nighttime. It's, you know how in Last Slumber Party when there's no real concept of light and dark and daytime and nighttime? It's like that in this
But
town.
At least that's all a dream, so that can, like...
Yeah, no, this is all real. I mean, if you're going to argue that this didn't
this
really
This is actually
happen,
a documentary.
Like, yes, like, I will fight you. I will punch you like
this
the
This was made by Christian Ministries International.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It turned me into a believer. So we have the guy, these two guys, like, walk up to this crazy tree in the middle of a clearing in the orchard, and it has these gross head-sized flowers on it. And so the one guy decides to poke it with a stick, because that's what you do, right? Let me check out this dead body. Poke, poke, poke. And then it just ejaculates all over him. He's like, "Let me touch this pulsating flower pod," and it just is like, "Oh, you shocked me," and it comes all over him, and it just keeps going, and it's incredibly sexual. And then after the flower is spent, it like looks the guy over, it apologizes, and is like, "You don't have to swallow that," and it turns him into a pod person. And then it's such a cruel world that this guy like gets turned into a pod person but doesn't get to have any legs, and so he has to walk around on his arms. And then there's a flying pod person. And then there's a...
And a vegetable gremlin and a spider gremlin.
Can you imagine how much better this movie would be if there was a vegetable seed person in this instead of just like... They look like... Okay, so
they're essentially... they're born out of avocados. So, I mean, there's kind of already
one.
Well,
I think that they're giant peach pits.
Well, the seeds are, kind of.
Like when you see the... Yeah, the seeds... Yeah. Yeah, they love so the one seed person monster that has no legs, it rolls around like a Krite ball.
Yeah, it does.
If we're talking about movies to rip off other movies a second week in a row, this movie rips off that. And the flying one is kind of like a...
I don't want to spoil some movie magic for you, but that Video Zone thing showed you how they made the 1C person roll and the other one fly, and it involved rolling it and throwing it. So, like,
where's my wow react emoticon? Wow, yeah, Owen Wilson, get up in here, man. So then we have I can't remember exactly what happens next, but then we have some more people go out and go over to the tree, and they're like, this flower is spent, and the other guy's like, let me see if I can get this right. What in the ding dong heck of a doodle hell is that? Because that's exactly how farmers talk. I grew up in rural Ohio. That's exactly how we all talk. Oh, man. So then the other guy gets, like, sneezed on because there's the other flower is like, oh, this one's been pollinated. And then it just shoots, like,
corn
snot
puffs.
Balls on this guy. Oh, and covers it
when he's covered in Cheetos or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, or like rabbit turds.
Yeah, it's...
like, really big rabbit turds.
It's bad.
Yeah, I don't know why would... I understand that they probably were like, let's spice it up. We just had one guy getting like ejaculated all over. What can we do this other guy that we could make it more enticing to watch the rest of this film that has very terrible pacing? But that guy gets turned into, which one does he get turned into? Does he get turned into the flying one? Or is he the...
I mean, they all run together for me. There's no... the only character name I know is Doc.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, the guy who is trying super hard to do his best Christopher Lloyd impression.
Yeah, he's dressed like he came out of the Tron machines for a decent chunk of this movie.
You can't hurt me. I'm bulletproof. No, dude, I'm going to shoot you with a fucking gun and see how bulletproof you are.
Well, the scene people are like as animated as the elf in Elves. Like, it's very much just like, just stands there and stares.
The best part about this, though, is that they have moving mandibles. And so it'll be a super close-up, because this movie doesn't have a widescreen version that I know of. It just has a fucking letterbox version. And it'll be close-ups with, like, animal, bug clicking sounds, and their mandibles are just like, like, that move real short, quick movements. And that's like, oh, no, they're going to get killed. No, they're not getting killed. There's no internal logic on what creatures get turned, or what people get turned into different sea people that can transform between people and monster. What ones are now just kind of like, you know, an invasion of the body snatchers when people are like sleeper agents where they don't know, or you don't know that they're actually seed people. It's like that. And then there are other people that get murdered.
Well, like, so maybe I missed this. There's a possibility I looked away and missed this. But, like, the seed person attacks the one cop, and then they say that it was a very clear hit and run?
It's not a cop. No. That's the guy in the shitty faux leather jacket. He gets run down by Doc, right?
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's what happened then.
Because then the deputy sheriff is like, there's only one person in this town with these hubcaps. Like, this town can't have that many people. They know who the town drunk is. They know his car. He's got a car that's as old as he is. Oh, man. But in any case, I guess that we're now at the part where they go to the Fireball Club for the for Tom's meteorological
presentation
discussion. That is presentation. Like, why are there any? Why is this town is a population of like 200 people? Why are there 10 people there? Like, there should be no one there that gives a flying fuck about meteorites. Oh, man. But so then that's at the end of that, I think, is, or during that scene is when that one guy gets, it's where Doc is getting followed by a seed person who I believe is the one who got jizzed all over and is actually Kim's dad or stepdad or something like that. I can't quite remember what the familial thing is, but seed people have some serious road rage issues. Just if you are in front of one, just let them pass you, because they will try and make you run over somebody that has seen what they can do. So Doc runs that guy down, and then Bert Mosley is the name of the guy who opens up the back of his trunk and is like, hey, check out my gigantic peach pit. And then they throw around all those science words. And the guy that that guy actually is in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You know when Judge Reinhold is working at that breakfast place and he's like, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass. That's that guy.
Oh, Jesus.
That is such an because I looked at him and I'm like, that guy looks so familiar. But I didn't have the energy last night while I'm watching this to go onto my IMDb app and like comb through Seed People to see who Bert Mosley was played by. And then I'm like, okay, let me just listen to him talk some more because that is so familiar. And it came to me. He's like, there's 100% guarantee or 100% money back guarantee. And it clicked in my mind. And I'm like, man, that is one of the most obscure character references that I think that I've come up with on this show. And we've been doing this show for quite a couple of years by now. So anyway, that's that. Some other shit happens where Kim gets attacked by Mrs. Santiago, who's, I believe, the seed person that has like a weird proboscis tongue thing that she chokes people with. And then Tom sees her in the room, which is one of the best. I don't remember what photo I used, I find the photos for all of our social media when we post episodes, and I'll do them months in advance when we have our Matt will send me like a 3-month list of everything we're going to do. I'm like, okay, I need to get photos for everything and get them resized for all of our social. And I found a screenshot, and I don't know if Matt used it or not. I don't even know if I actually sent it because it might have been too low of resolution. But there's a screenshot of Tom opening the door and that seed person. And it's like, it looks like the seed person is like, do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It's a great screenshot. But then he's like, I don't know what I actually just saw there. It's so confusing. I don't know why he wouldn't be like, let's get the fuck out of this town. Let's walk if we need to. And then he like leaves everybody at the house and goes up to Bert Mosley's greenhouse. And he's like, tell me about this avocado seed or whatever, this peach pit that you got. And he's like, wait a second. I got to spray with my herbicide. Be careful. That stuff's stronger than, it's 10 times stronger than cat piss or something like that. I don't know. It's stupid. But he's like, I got to spray this herbicide. And then he sprays it on plants. Herbicide kills plants. It's literally what it's called. Herbicide. And so he sprays on his plants and it doesn't kill them. It's like, so stupid. But then Tom goes to Doc's lab and finds another peach pit in a vat, which he finds out later is herbicide because it looks like windshield wiper fluid. But then like there's a peach pit that's open and he like looks at it and it opens up and he just looks at the seed pod. It starts moving. He grimaces. And then he takes the journal and runs back home to Heidi and tries to explain it to her. And then Kim like is out in the middle of the night. It's again, there's no concept logic of what's night and what's day. They argue a little bit and then Kim like comes home she's out and they have to go find her and they save her from the pod people. And then she's got videotape of the flying one and the one without legs. And the videotape gets smashed, but then somehow Tom, who is a meteorologist and therefore is also great with electrical stuff, figures out a way to get that back onto a working VHS tape. And so they watch it and they see the pod people and then they all agree, oh my God, there are pod people. And so they're trying to like get out of town. And then he's like, we're locked in here with them. We don't know who's who. We have to go and find the herbicide, whatever. And so they go around town. Heidi and Kim get transformed or something while Tom watches because he's a pussy and doesn't stop the pod people. And then he somehow saves them by putting them under UV light. And then they have this great big final battle where some people blow up and like the truck blows up and then they get out of town, but he thinks they get out of town. And then he's like, and that's the end of my story. Where's Heidi? Can I see her? And the FBI agent is like, she's in the next room. He's like, let me see her. And you're like, oh shit. maybe that FBI guy is not really an FBI guy. And then it turns out that everybody's a pod person except for Tom. Dun, dun, dun.
So the only thing that I have left that I want to throw out there with this movie is the fact that it's two things. It's a line of dialogue that I wanted to write down, and it's the fact that most of the transformations from person to seed people looks like it's straight out of Animorphs. Like, is
yes, the one where it's on the actual
yeah, the black tape? And white footage. Oh, wow. Oh, it is bad. But it's the guy who originally had the meteor in his trunk, and they're trying to explain to him, like, no, it's not really a meteor, it's a seed. And he just goes, my meteor's a seed! And he's like...
Oh, another great line that we're forgetting is when Doc has, like, a gun to Tom or something like that. And he's like, let's see if you bleed chlorophyll.
It's just... He, like, his line could have been fine with, like, tarnation after it. Like,
yeah. What in the heck, Don Doodle Dandy?
But yeah, I really have very few notes for seed people, I'll be honest. I'm not sure about, I mean, you just crushed a burger. Is there anything you feel like we should cover, or we got this handled?
Yeah, I mean, these things are plant-based, but they are primarily active at night, which seems contradicting. Yeah. And the way you kill them is with UV radiation, which... Yeah, which plants love. They love the sunlight. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, I've never grown any marijuana plants, but I'm pretty sure that when you find a grow house, it's because all the UV lights give off way more heat. So I feel like the internal logic of this movie is almost as stupid as Carnosaur 2.
Hey guys, we just wanted to take a quick break in the middle of the episode to remind you that Scott and I...
Yeah, I'm here.
Are going to be at Monster Mania this year. Once again, it's going to be on March 9th through the 11th. If you're in the area, please come by, swing by, say hi. We're going to be having some pizza party with anybody who listens to the show on Friday night. Should be fun. And then Saturday, it's the big moment. It's the big event, perhaps. We'll be doing two live episodes. Scott, what movies are we going to be talking about?
Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth, and Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors!
Oh man, it's going to be a threevening with horror movie night.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be having it at a place called The Big Event. There's bowling, there's video games, there's pool. I think I heard that there's laser tag, but when I did the tour, I didn't see it, so I don't know. The website might be lying. Regardless, come check it out. It's going to be a free event. Get drunk, get bowling, watch us do our live show. There'll be some guest appearances from some fan favorites. Now back to the episode. All right, well, what did you guys watch this week?
I'll start off since I apparently am a glutton for punishment. I watched a movie on, I fast forwarded through a movie on Netflix recently called Temple.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that it was going to be like Norai the Curse.
God, that movie's so much better than it has any right to be.
I know, it's so good. I don't really think that we could ever talk about it on Horror Movie Night. We talked about it on Red Horror Club,
it's
right?
It's a genuinely good found footage movie that has nothing that we can...
Yeah, and I don't even like found footage.
Yeah, there's nothing that we can make fun of. Go see Norai the Curse. It's on YouTube. Yeah, that's how I watched it.
It used to be. I don't know. It still is. But it's such a great movie. But I had this feeling like maybe it'll be like that. It's not anything like that. It's half in Japanese and then half in English, but it's an English movie. Like, it's an American-made movie. So that doesn't bother me. It's just confusing as to why it was made in such a way. But then the whole story is that, like, these idiots are trying to make a documentary about these shrines in rural Japan. And so they go to one that they hear about people cutting their own eyes out after they go to it. And stupid shit happens, and there's, like, a ghost child. And then it's, like, a kitsune, like a fox, transforming fox succubus monster kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The special effects are garbage. And it's supposed to be, like, tense, but it's not. It's just slow and boring, and everybody sucks. You know how all these low-budget movies that are being made in the last, like, decade, if they're not a found footage movie... I mean, yeah, all found footage movies, everybody is, like, so insufferably annoying, and there's no redeeming qualities to the characters, so you're like, just fucking die already. It was like that, except it wasn't a found footage. Everybody sucked. Everybody made the wrong decisions. Everybody was, like, kind of shitty people, you know? And I could not wait for the movie to be over. I fast forwarded through so much of that film. I would highly recommend people give it a thumbs down, move on, and do not watch on Netflix. Since you can't give things star ratings anymore on Netflix.
That's
you
so can only
give up and down. Yeah, the algorithm for Netflix is just stupid. I don't even actually browse Netflix anymore. I go to Netflix for shows that I know are there. Or if somebody's like, oh, watch this thing, it's on Netflix. I'll watch movies on Hulu. I will search Hulu for movies because they're doing now what Netflix used to do, because Netflix would buy gigantic lots of movies. And there'd be like four or five gems that you would be like, oh my God, I can't believe I haven't even thought about this movie in a decade. And then there's a bunch of garbage. So you come through the garbage on Hulu now and you find some really great shit. Like I told Matt a couple weeks ago, I was like, hey, I found Arachnophobia on Hulu. Should I watch it and talk about it, or should we talk about it? And he's like, yeah, just put it on your long list. So heads up, we'll probably do that sometime before it's not on Hulu anymore, because I think we could get a good episode out of it. But it's like that. Like, there's just tons of really good stuff on Hulu now, and Netflix just has absolute bullshit. If it's not a TV show or a movie that they have paid for themselves.
All right. So I watched one movie that I haven't seen in many, many years. As usual, I'll probably write a more fleshed out review for the newsletter for the people who subscribe to our Patreon account. But I watched Female Trouble, which is like probably one of the two John Waters movies I've seen the least. And that movie still, like, it is the early John Waters. Like, it is pretty gross and going out of its way to be offensive, but it's a fun movie. I forgot how much I laugh at that movie. That movie's got some really great, like, absurd lines, like Divine screaming about not getting her cha-cha heels, or just her stage show that involves her just jumping awkwardly on a trampoline. 70s Waters is definitely a very, very acquired taste, but I'm one of the people that enjoys it. The bigger thing that I want to shine a spotlight on is that I read a book that I really, really found myself enjoying, and I think you guys would like it too. It's called Less Than Hero by the writer S.G. Brown. And the concept of the book is that it follows a bunch of, like, human guinea pigs that do all different types of, like, drug testing trials. And they've been doing it for years, and basically one of the tests goes awry, causing each one of them to develop superpowers. But their superpowers are based off of common side effects from the drugs that that they test. So, like, one guy can cause you to break out in hives, and another guy can cause you to hallucinate, and another guy can cause memory loss, and another guy can, like, cause nausea and vomiting. And it basically is about these guys kind of, you know, all of a sudden there's also supervillains who happen to be in that drug trial that are, like, causing craziness in the streets of whatever city they've made up. And they have to, like, step up and become these, like, very Mystery Men style superheroes that have, like, I mean, they're all right. Like, the one guy's, like, superpowers, he can give you a, he can give you a really long erection. Like, it's like, like, it's just like,
I don't it's, want that power.
Yeah, it's just such a, it's such a bizarre book, but I like cruise through that thing in a weekend.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it was, I've met the,
what was the name of that again?
Less Than Hero.
Okay.
The author is this guy, S.G. Brown. He signs at the Geekscape booth every year, and I never, all the years that I've worked at the Geekscape booth at San Diego, I never bought a book from him until this past year, and I finally got around to reading it, and I'm pretty sure if he's there next year, I'm going to buy like two or three more of his books, because I had a lot of fun with this one.
That's awesome. Hey, I wanted to mention something. I just realized, I read Annihilation a couple months back.
Oh, that's that movie.
When the trailer.
Yeah, how was it?
It should be coming out right around when this drops, I believe. And I had been putting off talking about it on our podcast because we don't really talk about books. I never talk about books that I've read on here. But since it was tying into a movie that was coming out, I was like, oh, I should probably mention it. The book is pretty good. I've read it. So it's part of a trilogy, the Southern Reach trilogy. I liked Annihilation, and then I read the second one, which is called Authority, and I did not like Authority. It was pretty dry, and I did not like where they went with the where the writer went with this story in general. And I have not gotten to the third one, which is called Acceptance, I think. And I'll get to it eventually. I'd like to finish the trilogy. There, I think that he wrote one big book, or he wrote Annihilation and then expanded it into two more books at the same time. And they all came out within like a 9-month period. I think it was like every 3 months a book came out or something like that. But Annihilation was pretty good. I have some serious issues with some of the verbosity of it. It just seemed a little bit too navel-gazy at times, but I really liked the concept. And I think that it maybe would have worked best if it had left all the mystery in the first book and not tried to explain it, hand wave it away in the second. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in the movie, because I know that the movie is going to be a significant departure from the book. That's kind of what the production company said, was like, the book was great, but it's a stepping off point. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And I really want to see how they visually, how they bring the visuals to life, because the book is pretty psychedelic. And it's a really quick read. I think I read it in 3 days. And I was reading it like slowly. You know, you could probably read it in a snowy afternoon if you wanted to.
All right.
It's only 150 pages.
All right. And Berger, sign us out. What have you got?
Okay, got a couple things. Have you guys ever heard of or seen a movie called Mystery Team?
Yes, I love Mystery Team.
It's a really great film.
Donald Glover, right?
That's right, right. It was an internet comedy group called Derek Comedy. It was their first feature film. Donald Glover was probably the most famous person to come out of that. A brief synopsis is basically if the Hardy Boys found themselves in like an R-rated movie, but they're still their happy-go-lucky kind of like, gee whiz, like we got to solve the mystery. But they're dealing with like drug dealers and strip clubs and like all this stuff.
The best line in that movie is when they get, there's a point where the mystery team starts arguing with each other and they get into a fist fight and they all are standing up after the fight. And the one guy goes, oh, gee willikers. And the other guy goes, oh, fiddlesticks. And the third one goes, fuck. And like they look at him, he goes, that's right. I've been saying fuck. I've been going out and trying it out and it feels pretty good. Like, it's so good. It's such a dark comedy. I love that movie. Yeah, because it's literally just if a bunch of like teen, like little like eight-year-old sleuths never grew up when they're seniors in high school and have to solve like an actual case.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard of this, Scott? Or
no, I've never heard of it before. I mean, I know what Derek Comedy is.
So if you want to
in there for a couple of scenes too.
Oh yes, Audrey Plaza's in there too, right? Nice.
Yeah, Audrey Plaza is one of the main characters, yeah.
So, I recommend it. It's a kind of a lesser-known comedy gem. Should definitely check that out. Second movie I want to talk about, I think maybe I've mentioned it before. It's a movie called Bloodborne. All right. Okay. It's a film by a guy named Alex Orr, and it's just one of those lesser-known comedy horrors that has fallen through the cracks over the years, and long story short, it's essentially the future gas prices. And it says this is the future 3 weeks from now. Gas prices have gotten so high that no one drives anymore. Like driving is considered a luxury. So a guy is trying to invent a car that would run on something else. What he's trying to invent is a car that runs on wheatgrass, but he accidentally.
Oh, dude. I did watch some of this movie. I never finished it.
Yeah. And he basically invents a car.
I didn't think it was that funny.
It's odd. It's just bizarre. I think it's fun. I think it's kind of a lesser known gem. And he basically invents a car that runs on blood instead. So there's some sci-fi show recently that kind of deals with a similar premise. I think it's called like Blood Drive or something. I think that's a little shady. I haven't seen the show, so I don't know how much of a ripoff it actually is. But Blood Car and Mystery Team, seek them out.
All right. Well, that was Seed People from 1992, as picked by Scott. Don't forget that you can always tell us movies that you'd like us to watch at hmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can also donate to our Patreon account at patreon.com/hmnpodcast. And you can check out all of our episodes at hmnpodcast.com. Be sure to swing by our Facebook page, hit us up on Twitter. We're pretty good at both of those social media things. I don't think we do any of the other ones, though. So thank you for listening. We will be back next week with a, I'll just straight up say it. We're watching a werewolf movie, so try to figure out what other one we have to suffer through, because we certainly have been going from a podcast that loves werewolves but never talks about them to a podcast that watches a lot of shitty werewolf movies. Tune in next week.